It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. The sports analyst that covers it all brings it on every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Sometimes they go into overtime. You don't want to miss these two former college football athletes, the Who Dat and Niner Gang, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Bang Bang Niner Gang.
It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It is Wednesday, 7 p.m., so that means you are tuning in to Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, we got a great one dialed up for you. We're going to talk HBCU, of course. We're going to dive into March Madness. And, you know, it's almost time. It's the Sweet 16 that kicks off tomorrow night. It's going to be down to the Elite Eight and then ultimately the Final Four. Want to talk, you know, our Final Fours. Our Final Four is still intact, you know, for the most part from last week. Our bracket is busted. We still look good. We'll definitely dive into that for sure. I want to talk Coach Calipari from the Kentucky University of Kentucky. They were eliminated by Oakland. Wow, who saw that coming? But then again, ladies and gentlemen, it's March Madness, so you never see it coming, but you can't be too surprised when it happens either. Going to talk NFL. There was some rule changes that took place as well. Want to talk Shohei Ohtani. And also Jonte Porter as well. Want to talk there's some gambling issues or gambling scandals going on there. Shohei Ohtani had a press conference, but there were a lot of questions left unanswered for E. Scott and myself. And of course, at the end of the show, we got our popular segment, E. Scott's entertainment segment, for sure. So with that being said, let's bring in Mr. E. Scott. Mr. E. Scott, how you doing this evening, my brother?
Hey, don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
Hey, that's a perfect. Hey, that's perfect for what's going on, and not just in the world of sports, but some other places as well. If you know what I mean, ladies and gentlemen. All right, good stuff there. He always sliding in, you know, smooth as ice, man. Hey, let's jump right into it, hey, because we got a lot of stuff on the slate right now. Not sure if we're going to get into all of it, but nonetheless, let's talk some HBCU, man. What do you have on there? You know, it was fun, man, watching and broadcasting our show while we're doing live and watching Grambling State and what they did last week. But what say you about HBCU this week?
Well, yeah, I'll keep it brief. Both the men and the women from the Grambling State University Tigers won our first – well, we won the play-in game, like you just mentioned, last week. And we watched that together. And then the women went over to the NIT, and they actually won their first game and then against Oral Roberts. And then they ended up losing to Louisiana Monroe. And what's funny about that, Louisiana Monroe is only 36 miles from Grambling. It's right down I-20. If you're coming in from Florida, going to Grambling, you'd pass right by Louisiana Monroe. I spent a lot of time on that campus back in my days on the yard because it wasn't that far. Because Monroe is actually the closest city to Grambling, and we would go down there. That's where the mall was and things of that nature. So, yeah, I'm very familiar with them, but, yeah, I'm really proud of the Lady Tigers. And then over to the men, like you said, we watched it last week together. I was so proud of the guys. For, you know, winning that game. Then we went up against Purdue. And although we didn't win, I think we were impressive because if it hadn't been for that big old dude in the middle, I mean, we could have done something with them because we ended up losing by 28, and then they blew the next team out of the water. I mean, they because like that, like I said, at one point, Eddie, whatever his name is, he had more rebounds by himself than we had as a team. He had 13 offensive rebounds. Just him. We had 11. So, but like I said, I mean, we played well. Our guards played well. It's just that, you know, we were outmatched. Shallow-wise, they were superior to us. But like Princess put in the chat last week. Hey, long as that check clear, we good. But yeah,
you're right.
University Tigers, both men and women. I know Jackson State ended up making the tournament too. Proud of them. Shout out to them too. But yeah, I'm always gonna salute the alma mater. You know, any chance that I get. So yeah, and I appreciate, you know, you taking the time out to recognize HBCU sports and just HBCUs in general. I mean, because like you said before, we have this platform and we got to use it to the best of our ability.
Yes.
And again, we'll talk some more HBCU sports as the week goes on, as the weeks go on. But right now, it's on Grambling State University.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this is not me, you know, talking about it. You mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. Your name is on the show too. So this is not just
yeah, I had to check the caller. Yeah. And I'm waiting on him to call back. Again, because like I said, he only got a pass because I didn't know he wasn't a personal friend of yours. I'm waiting on him to call back.
All right, going forward, I'll give you the heads up going forward if we have a new caller. Just to let you know, I'll give you the thumbs up, thumbs down, you know, and you'll know what that means. All right, good stuff there. Yeah, Grambling, excellent job, man. It just seemed like, and no disrespect to your alma mater, but it just seemed like it was one of those big brother moments where, you know, you just hold the ball up or you just put your hand on their forehead and they just start swinging, you know, and they can't hit you and they can't go anywhere. That's what it was with Edie, not necessarily Purdue. Edie is the big difference maker there, man. He really is, and that's why they're a number one seed, and a lot of people have him projected to go, you know, to the Final Four. But yeah, just hats off and the fight in those Tigers, man, from Grambling State to show up and show with the heart, man, because they went down fighting, man, without question, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I want to get a shout out to Jackson State, the women's team as well. Even though they got beat, you know, pretty convincingly. They won me some money, man. In a little bit. So I just want to not for that, but yeah, just for getting in the tournament, making a name for yourself. And we bring this to our listeners week in and week out. And it's a shame and I feel bad that we haven't done it, sooner. And not just because, you know, the NFL is dwindling down and things of that nature. It's something that we have to bring to the forefront for sure going forward when the NFL is hot, you know, when NBA playoffs are hot as well. Want to always keep that going. All right. So with that being said, E, let's talk about March Madness, man. Let's talk about, your bracket, if you have a bracket, and also is your Final Four for the men's, is your Final Four still intact? Do you still have, I know Kentucky went out. I don't know if Kentucky was in your Final Four, but nonetheless, how does your bracket look from a Final Four standpoint?
Terrible. I did have Kentucky in the Final Four.
Okay.
I had Illinois, North Carolina, Purdue, and Kentucky. Those were my Final Four.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Yeah. I mentioned last week, ladies and gentlemen, I went with my head and with my heart. I had three brackets, but I went with my bracket, and I think I had my North Carolina bracket. No, I had my UConn bracket there. But I do have in the Final Four, I do have UNC still alive. UConn, I have all number ones, ladies and gentlemen. I had all number ones. And I go, you know, and we rarely see that. There's still a big possibility that won't happen. We won't see it. But all my Final Fours are still alive. UConn, UNC, Houston, and Purdue as well. So my bracket is not that bad in from that standpoint. But if you look at it, other than that, it's a debacle. I call it it's not even a bracket anymore. It's a broken. It's not even a bracket. It's a broken.
I had Kentucky going all the way to the championship game, losing to North Carolina and in the championship game. And when they took that first round exit, I mean, that was shocking. And I heard them on the podcast I was listening to earlier. They were calling Oakland Oakland. And they said the reason they say Oakland, so you don't get it confused with Oakland, as in Oakland, California. Because, you know, Oakland, California is predominantly African-American. And they were like, this Oakland, This is far, far, far from what Oakland is. So they said that the signature dude, they were calling him Oakland, because this cat that came in and hit them 10 threes, he got to be, I think he went to college with Bo Nix. I mean, he got to be 35, 40 years old. I mean, because you know Bo Nix about to get drafted. And he should be up for retirement. But, you know, this dude came in and hit like 10 straight threes. I mean, K-Walk, he got to be, seriously, he got to be 28, 29 years old. He out there playing with the little kids.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and you when you're looking at that game, you see it like, all right, well, Kentucky is going to be in a dogfight, but they'll get past it because it's Oakland. And we see this week, I mean, year in and year out, we say, oh, wow, upset. And we call it March Madness at the same time. Can we do that? Can we call it March Madness and then be surprised or be an upset? I know the seeds may say it's an upset, but can we stop calling them upsets and saying March Madness at the same time? Because the reason why we call them March Madness is because of games like Oakland and Kentucky and Yale, that Yale game as well. So but let's stop doing that. Like, let's stop calling them upsets if we're going to use March Madness without question.
I think what has happened, K-Walt, is the evolution of the college game, because the college game, especially on the men's side, mm-hmm. is not what it used to be. I mean, before, mm-hmm. if a 16 beat a 1 or a 2 beat a 15, it was a big deal because of disparity in talent. Now, with NIL, the portal, the G League, and just the men's side not being as strong as it used to be, to see a 15 beat a 2, I mean, they're closer matched in talent than in years past. So I think you're right. You can't really say March Madness and then say it was an upset. Now, back in the day, you could, because back in the day, a number one was a clear favorite over a 16, a 2 was a clear favorite over a 15, a 3 was a clear favorite over a 14. But that gap has closed tremendously. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. They call it madness for a reason, but you can't be surprised when this stuff happens.
You can't be. You just can't be. And especially, you know, a lot of people come out and say, well, yeah, I picked the L over, I forget who they beat. I think they escaped my mind who they beat. But I do know that, you know, that Oakland beat Kentucky for sure. Now, East, staying on the Kentucky talk, man, and I guess it's a great transition to what I want to talk about, and that's Coach John Calipari, man, the coach of the University of Kentucky, or Wildcats, a blue blood, you know, if you will, in the basketball sense. A lot of people are saying that, you know, he's won one national championship. He's been to two. It's been to four Final Fours, and he's the master, or he's the whatever adjective you want to use to describe him, as far as being that one and done guy. You know, he's bringing all of these huge talents in here, man, and they're getting them out, and they're going straight to the NBA. You know, that's what they're known for, one and done, Calipari. Now, Calipari, after the game, came out and stated that, you know, he may have to change, you know, the way he approaches recruiting. And you mentioned transfer portal. And that may be the route to go, because if you see a lot of these teams right now, or, you know, especially with my North Carolina Tar Heels, there's a great mixture of veteran leadership there with R.J. Davis, Armando Baycock. They've been there for 4 or 5 years because of COVID. They got the extra year because of COVID. And then they brought some guys in, you know, from Stanford, like Harrison Ingram. Cormac Ryan came in from he was at Stanford as well, and also at Notre Dame, and other guys as well. They used the portal to their advantage, because you remember 2 years ago, Tar Heels were 20 minutes away from winning a national championship, but then lost to Kansas. Last year, they didn't even make the tournament. So they went a different route and replaced some guys there, E. So with that being said, is Calipari's seat hot, for one? And for two, does he have to change his recruiting procedure, policy, philosophy, whatever you want to call it? Does he have to change that in order to remain, you know, the head coach there at Kentucky?
Now, based on the way you phrased the question, is his seat hot? I'll answer it like this. It should be, but it's not. Allow me to explain. The reason I say it's not, his buyout is $33 million. Kentucky, I know they're blue blood. I know they got some boosters over there. But I don't think Kentucky got money like that as a school. Not like, say, Texas A&M with that oil money, Alabama with that booster money. I mean, I don't know for sure what kind of money they got over at Kentucky. But I don't know if you can afford to buy Cal out at $33 million and then hire another guy to come in there. But now his seat should be hot just based on what they've done. And now as for should he change recruiting strategy? Absolutely. Because like it or not, transfer portal and NIL has changed the game. And the career coach that's not willing to adapt, i.e. Nick Saban, then, hey, get on up. I mean, you know, because the game is kind of passed you by. The old adage, the old way of doing things is not there anymore. It's kind of like when Cal first started the one and done, he said, you tell guys, hey, if you want to go next level, come to Kentucky. I'll get you ready. And I know I remember specifically Coach K came out and said he wasn't going to do that. Well, you see he ended up coming around, and then he ended up getting out of that Duke. But I'm saying he had to come around on this. And now I don't know that Cal is taking a stand saying what he won't do or what he will do, but I do know he needs to come around to the new way of doing things because, again, giving NIL money and transfer portal opportunity, the game has changed, K-Walk.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. You're spot on there with that, and well, I'm in agreement with you there. And you have to, man. You have to adjust. Look how quickly, you know, look how quickly Hubert Davis. I'm going to use my guy because that's my guy, man. And, you know, I love Hubert Davis. I watched him playing, you know, and you know when he was at North Carolina. I watched him playing in the NBA with the Knicks. They didn't like him too much then, but nonetheless. You know, he's an African American coach at my favorite team. You know, arguably the greatest blue blood of all time, but that's an argument for a different day, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, he went to the portal. He immediately went to the portal after they did not make the tournament. You know, the year after they were 15, 20 minutes away from winning the national championship, and you know, Caleb Love transfers to Arizona, so they had to replace him. They immediately went to the portal, man. They weren't one of those guys. He's not one of those coaches, you know. Even though he's old school, he learned under Dean Smith. He played under Dean Smith. He was an assistant coach for many years under Roy Williams. He's not stuck in his ways and saying, okay, we're going to do it, you know, North Carolina way. We're going to recruit. We're going to get these freshmen in here, and we're going to, you know, do that. You know, he immediately went to the portal and got some key guys, and they're contributing to the success of the Tar Heels up to this point. So Calipari has to do that. Again, he alluded to it that he would, you know, he has to think about it. There's no thinking about it, Calipari. There's no thinking about it. This is like he just stated. That's the route to go nowadays. You have to change, you know, you have to change with the times. You have to roll with the punches. Whatever analogy you want to use, you can't be on that. You can't be that old man on the porch saying, get off my lawn. That, you know, that it's not going to work for you. It's not going to work for you. Believe you me. And a lot of people are falling suit to it. You know, you'll see, you know, a lot of these teams go that route. And that's the success of some of these teams. But I do think, yeah, I agree with you, E. It should be hot, but I think they're going to give him the opportunity to test that, you know, to bring in some transfer portals. And not so much. You could do a really good job of bringing transfer portals in here, you know, transfer guys in here, and mix them and collab them, if you will, collaboration with the younger players as well. You can still recruit those 4 or 5 star athletes. You can still bring them in, but you should mix those, you know, with those transfer portals, the experienced guys. That way, you know exactly. I hope I'm not, you know, I'm giving away secrets and things of that nature. I guess it's really not a secret, but I really don't want to see Kentucky succeed. So, but if Calipari goes that route, they will succeed because, you know, I'm a Tar Heel fan. I don't want to see any other blue blood, you know, succeed other than, you know, my guys. But yeah, but good stuff there, E. Let's talk. I want to switch gears a little bit here. I want to stay on the NBA. I mean, the college basketball talk. But I want to talk a little women here, E, and not so much the brackets, not so much, you know, the teams, because the teams are probably right now are the usual suspects, if you will. You know, you got the South Carolinas, you know, you got the Iowas, you got the UConns. This year you got USC, who, ladies and gentlemen, I have cutting down the nets, Juju Watkins. And that team is phenomenal. Juju Watkins, in my opinion, a freshman, mind you, is going to wind up being probably the best women's player of all time, in my opinion, barring any major injuries. But, E, I want to ask you this. E, do you have right now, a lot of people are talking about South Carolina. They're undefeated right now. This is a two-part question, E. One, do you have South Carolina or do you have the field? And two, if South Carolina were to not be able to cut down the nets, what type of season? Is it a travesty? How would you explain, or how would you name the season for the Carolina, South Carolina Gamecocks, Lady Gamecocks, if they were not able to cut down the nets?
Well, I do have South Carolina winning it all. I mean, I just think this is Dawn Saley's year. I think she has the girls intact. But now, yeah, I posed that question last week. If they don't win it all, I do think the season was a failure. I mean, only because, I guess I can't say failure because they got this far, but the expectation is cutting down the nets. Anything else is, you know, there's no points for second place.
Right.
The second place is just the first loser. So, yeah, I do have them cutting down the nets, and I do think it would be a failure if they don't.
Yeah. Now, is a travesty, is that a word, too strong of a word to use, A, if they don't win it all?
Yeah, I think travesty may be a little ambitious or a little strong, okay, if you will, but I will say failure. I would definitely say it's a failure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a travesty is, I mean, they'll probably look at it as a travesty, but, you know, if you look at it, and travesty is a tough word, and that's how the ladies, you know, the Lady Gamecocks are looking at it. If you see how they came out of the gate, they were not playing with with any of these teams. So I think they feel that way. I think they feel like, you know, they have a target on their back. Everyone's picking them to win for the most part. I may be the lone person here outside of USC to have USC winning it all, but I could definitely see you South Carolina winning it without question. All right, E, what I want to do is let's grab our first break here. When we come back, I want to stay on the women's basketball talk, and I want to talk to you about Caitlin Clark. And also I want to talk about Angel Reese. Caitlin Clark has declared for the WNBA. So I want to ask you, how good would she be in the WNBA? And also, Angel Reese hasn't announced it, but, you know, should she go to the NBA or should she stay at LSU? I want to talk about that plus so much more. I want to get into the show, Shohei Ohtani situation as well. Again, ladies and gentlemen, and we have a plethora on the slate for you. All right, so if you don't already know, ladies and gentlemen, you have to know because you're here. It's Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
This is Sam Drushkin, CEO and co-founder of Vintage Labs. You're listening to Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott. They're pausing for a break, but they'll be right back.
At Vintage Labs Collection, we are a multifaceted team of medical professionals dedicated to delivering the best quality products to patients. Our mission is to deliver the best supplement and patient outcomes in healthcare environments and consumer homes. Chat with our consulting pharmacists by visiting our website at www.vintagelabscollection.com. Supplements are not highly regulated, but Vintage Labs holds the standards higher than most.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J-Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin, you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Sports Talk with K Walk and E Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us prior to the break, we were talking HBCU. We were talking talking March Madness as well. Gave our Final Fours, you know, who we expect to cut down the nets as well. Well, for the most part, we gave our thoughts and opinions on that. We're staying on that topic here. And like I said, you know, before the break, is I want to talk of some Caitlin Clark and also Angel Reese. Caitlin Clark has announced that she's going to forego her senior year and she's going to enter the WNBA. So with that being said, and I don't know if you've been watching Iowa basketball and Caitlin Clark. I guess you can call it Caitlin Hawkeye basketball, because she seems to be the only one that's really she's carrying this team. And no disrespect to the other ladies, they're handling supporting roles to the best of their ability. But E, what say you? What I've noticed from Caitlin Clark is that she's it looks like she's looking for a lot of fouls to be called by the referees. Her antics, and then if you ladies and gentlemen know that I was a big Caitlin Clark fan, but I'm slowly starting to disengage a little bit from that fandom, reason being because I don't like her antics. I think she's starting to really feel herself, and she's expecting every time she misses a shot or every time she turns the ball over or someone's playing excellent defense against her, she's looking for the refs to bail her out. And she's getting, you know, she gets that attitude. You can see her body language and you can see her face. She goes up to the refs. I personally don't like that. I think if you feel like if you're the best, then you have to be better than your opposition. You can't look for anyone to bail you out, if you will. But E, with all that being said, what type of WNBA player do you think she would be? You know, once she's in that sorority, if you will.
I think she'll be a pretty good player because right now she's the main focus at Iowa. Like you said, it's Caitlin and a bunch of dudettes, if you will. You can't even name anybody else over there. But now when she goes to the WNBA.
Gabrielle Marshall. I have to shout her out because I like to look at her. But go ahead.
I think the Fever have the first pick. And I don't really know who's over there, but I'm saying they're not just going to let some, you know, whippersnapper come in and take over. She's going to have to go through some growing pains, and the coaching will be different on the next level. I mean, because, like, right now I think she's really, really good. Like you said, Juju Art in USC may be better, but I do think Caitlin is really good. So, I mean, I think this is a good move for her because, I mean, she's been in college forever. You know, she got that extra COVID year, so it's time. Yeah. I mean, other than winning the national championship, she has nothing else to prove on the college level. And if she doesn't win it this year, I seriously doubt if she can win it next year. So, yeah, it may be time to go on to the next level. Now, as far as that diva behavior, I'm with you, K-Walt. I don't really care much for it. I mean, when you're a superstar, you can kind of get away with it because LeBron does it too. truth, but she's no LeBron, but she's no LeBron James. But
right.
Yeah, I just think, you know, hey, relax on that diva stuff a little bit and just play ball.
Yeah, and what bothered me, and I'm watching the game the other night against West Virginia, and, you know, West Virginia is known. They call them Press Virginia because they love to pressure the ball. And it was actually exactly what West Virginia was doing. And, you know, unfortunately, West Virginia didn't have the offense, because if they had a little bit more offense, they could have beaten Iowa in that game. But she was getting so frustrated with, you know, with the players from West Virginia, you know, getting underneath her, bothering her, turning the ball over, and, you know, and that's what I was, you know, I mentioned that she's getting frustrated. She looks for the refs to bail her out, excuse me. But I'm looking at it, if she can't handle the pressure from, you know, West Virginia, you know, and we know that the talent is really good at the next level, the WNBA, especially when you look at the WNBA, and there aren't 30 teams in the WNBA, so, you know, there these players that are in the WNBA, since there are so many, since there's a limited amount of teams, that quality of play is there. It's there, and it's going to be night in, night out, play in, play out, that you're going to face. You know, we'll face players like, you know, you went against West Virginia, if not better. So if you can't handle that from, you know, West Virginia and AC, mind you, then, you know, how are you, and you're frustrated there, imagine how you're going to be in the next, on the next level. And not to mention, her defense isn't one to write home to, you know, to the coaches about, even to the scouts about. Her offense is outstanding. She can shoot. She's in range. As soon as she gets off the bus or off the plane, we know that. But defense is suspect, at best. So that's why I posed the question. So I'm saying, you know, she's got to humble herself, E, and she's got to work on her defense, man. And because these ladies love to talk, they love to get into you, and you know how it is, E, when if you're in a fraternity and you're a pledge. And she's ultimately going to be in that situation where you're a rookie and you get hazed. You know, I don't know how much hazing they do, but you know what I mean. You know, they're going to make you sing, they're going to make you dance.
I would just like to go on record. Cap Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated does not haze. Continue.
That's why I retracted that a little bit. Yeah, I backed off a little bit of that. But nonetheless, pledges have to go through certain things, you know, to become, you know, a member of that, you know, prestigious fraternity. And in this case, it would be the WNBA for Caitlin Clark. So she's going to have to go through that again. She's got to start all over again. And if she can't handle that, then it's going to be a long career for her, or a long or a rough career for her, for sure. So I think she can handle it from a skill set. No question in my mind that she can handle it from a skill set. I just want to know where her mental state is going to be. Can she handle it from a mental standpoint or a mental state, because of the fact of the matter is they're going to come after her. She's Caitlin Clark. Everyone's going to be gunning for her, whether you're a freshman, I mean, whether you're a rookie or not, because your name is all about that. All right, a next one here is Angel Reese, man. Angel Reese hasn't announced that, you know, she's going to stay in LSU, or she's going to, forego her eligibility to go to the WNBA. But Angel Reese seems to be a little different here for me. I don't know if she's prepared for the WNBA. She's probably better off staying and developing herself. And not only that, I think she'd probably make more money. She'll probably make more money by staying in LSU because, as you mentioned earlier, the NIL deal is there. But what say you about Angel Reese? Should she stay or should she go?
Yeah, see, I feel about Angel Reese kind of like you do. I think her best move is to stay another year at LSU because of the hype right now. Caitlin Clark is going to be the number one pick. I think Angel Reese could put herself potentially in that spot for next year. I mean, I think she's WNBA ready. She has the skill set. But I do think it would be in her best interest to spend another season at LSU. She might even pick up another national championship. And like you said, she's probably going to make more money initially based on NIL at LSU than she will in the WNBA, salary-wise anyway. Now, the good thing about the WNBA, she will pick up some endorsement deals because, you know, NIL money follows you if a company wants it to. You know, a company can continue to pay you even though you're not a college student anymore. So I think she'll be okay there. I wouldn't be mad at her if she turned pro. But, yeah, I do. I would like to see her come back to those Bayou Bengals for one more year.
Yeah, man. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're a new listener, you know, you should know that E. Scott is an LSU guy through and through, Louisiana guy, I should say. Louisiana guy for sure. So he's repping his Bayou without question, man. So, yeah, so I can't be mad at that. He, yeah, I agree with you there, man. I think if she can develop, and not just, again, same thing with Caitlin Clark, as I mentioned with Caitlin Clark, is you got to develop more than just your physical skills because a lot of that is mental, man. You know, a lot of it is mental, and you got to prepare yourself mentally because people are going to come after you because they know that you're the new fish in the pond. You know, it's no longer you're the big fish in a small pond. Now you're a small fish in a big pond. So then the big fish are going to come after you without question. All right, let's switch gears a little bit here. And before we get into our NFL talk, this has come out, and you and I have, you know, texted one another about this, and there's some questions that were still left unanswered, not just by E. Scott and myself, but other people as well. All right, if you've been living under a rock, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the Shohei Ohtani, who is the DH and the pitcher, he won't pitch this year, but signed a $700 million deal. What was it, close to a billion? Over close to a $1 billion deal. I think it's $700 million with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Baseball player has come out that said that allegedly his interpreter, stole $4.5 million from him to cover gambling debts. The first report was that Shohei Ohtani gave him the money to cover his gambling debt there. And this is his interpreter, ladies and gentlemen, you know, not an agent, not representation, not a lawyer, anything of that nature, just his interpreter. So again, the number is $4.5 million to cover the debt. Now, Shohei Ohtani had, I don't know if you want to call it a press conference the other day, but he gave a statement through his new interpreter. And basically, to sum up the statement, it basically said he knew nothing about this happening. He was lied to. He was deceived. The more and more I say this, the more and more I laugh because I just don't understand how your interpreter has access to your bank account. You have representations from all aspects of it, your legal representation, your sports agent, and you have and in this case, your interpreter. I don't understand how your interpreter has access to your bank account. I, for one, know that every time that a transaction in my bank account, I have nowhere near $4.5 million, ladies and gentlemen, in my bank account. I'm just letting you know that if a transaction happens that's kind of suspicious, I get notification. Did you authorize this? I don't care. It could be $100. It could be $250, whatever the case may be. I'm getting notified. So you mean to tell me this guy wasn't notified or anyone who handles his financial his finances didn't have this notification? And also, why does this guy have no access to your bank account? That's my question to Shohei Ohtani. But E, what say you about Shohei Ohtani and this whole scandal, if you will?
Shohei lying. Well, if Shohei not lying, somebody lying. I'm calling BS, K-Walk. Here's why. Like you stated, and in the text I sent you, we're not talking about his manager. We're not talking about his accountant. We're not talking about his agent. We're talking about his interpreter. How the interpreter got access to the bank account. So I was talking to Ship,
right,
my good buddy Ship, that you know, about this stuff. And Ship was like, oh,
what
you
up, Ship, man? What's up, Ship?
He was like, that's his best friend and yada, yada, yada. Okay, I get all that. So I decided to do some research, K-Walk, any transaction over $500,000 to be wired, they must, and I repeat, must speak to the account holder. They will not make a transaction over $500,000. We're talking about $4.5 million. But anything now, if he would have did $499,000, I mean, you know, maybe he wouldn't have had to show any ID. But anything $500,000 and above that you must to do the wire, you must be with the account holder. Okay, well, if I wrote you a check. And I know some of my audience is a little younger. They don't know what a check is. But it's
right.
A thing you should write and give to somebody and whatever, whatever. If you're going to try to cash it, what's the first thing they're going to ask you for, K-Walk?
Identification.
And we're talking about a $5 check. You want to prove you, Kevin Walker, for $5. So you mean to tell me the interpreter can call down there and be like, hey, yeah, here's the account number. I need y'all to send $4.5 million to this account. No, and if that's the case, sure, I need to pull all that money out of that bank. No, because, you know, first of all, you can't go down there and just ask for $4.5 million and they put it in an envelope. No, this has to be via wire. Because they ain't got, you know, so this was a wire transaction. So you mean to tell me the interpreter can call down there and say, yeah, it's me, I'm Shohei. Send $4.5 million to this account. And they do no vetting. They ask for no identification. I mean, there ain't no secret password on the account. I mean, something. No, like I said, if I call J.P. Morgan Chase right now and say I'm Kirk Cousins, I need $80 million transferred over to this account. They gonna do some investigating. Wait a minute, too much. If $800. No. So I think Shohei got a little gambling problem. Or maybe it's not even a problem, but I think he's a gambler and he lost. And I respect him for paying his debts. And then now that MLB was notified, he's trying to cover it up. And you know what they say, the cover up is sometimes worse than the crime.
Okay, good stuff there. Good stuff. Look, I asked Jason Collins to come in, our good buddy Jason Collins, who's my co-host on Tuesday nights on the Sideline Speaks with myself, Brittany Jones, and Jason Collins. Tuesday nights, ladies and gentlemen, catch that. Are you live on YouTube and anywhere you get your podcast? Again, the Sideline Speaks with Brittany Jones, Jason Collins, Kevin Walker, and at 7 p.m. Mr. Collins, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing this evening?
What's going on, fellas? I'm good.
Hey, what up, Jay? Yeah, I reached out to Jay a little earlier, K-Walk, because the game later tonight, I wrote a Jay category for tonight.
I'm ready.
All right. Hey, you know what? It's so funny you said that because I was like, all right, I'm teetering. I'm trying to channel my inner E. Should I put the 2-5 up? I think he may go a different route this week. But nonetheless, I say, no, I'll back out of that. I'm not going to do that. I think he's going to go get me tonight. But nonetheless, hey, I just reached out to Jay, too, as well. I didn't realize you reached out to him earlier. So that's how much, ladies and gentlemen, you know that E. Scott and I on the same page without talking to one another. We're not reading the same book. We are always on for you. I don't know what that is. But nonetheless, Jay, you were holding for a little bit. So, you heard the Ohtani situation. And you and I talked about this last night on Sideline Speaks. But for our listeners, Jay, give us your thoughts and opinions on the situation.
Yeah, man, I kind of heard the tail end of yours and everything that E said. And I agree with 100% everything that E said. And to make it even worse, right, because at first Ohtani, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he said, I paid off his debt. Like, that was the initial statement.
Yes.
And then, 24 hours later, it's like, oh, this looks bad. Oh, no, he stole from me, right? So, that doesn't pass the sniff test at all, K-Wall.
Right.
So, he opened it up by saying somebody's lying, and that's exactly where I'm at. Somebody's lying, because this just don't look right.
Here's another way to look at it. Okay, So Shohei Ohtani has a bunch of money. And now it is highly possible that he doesn't know how much money he had. I will agree. I will say that. I don't have a lot of money, but I can understand that. Here's the thing, though. Somebody knows. Shohei might not know. But when $4.5 million get moved, somebody in your camp, hey, this ain't right. So somebody, you got, like I said, you got an agent, you got a manager, you got lawyers, you... When $4.5 million mysteriously comes up missing, even though Shohei might not have noticed it, but now if the person stealing it is in charge, that's different. If you're a counselor, because he can fudge the numbers, but we're talking about your friend, your interpreter. How in the hell he moved $4.5 million and no flags went up, nobody noticed? Then you should fire everybody in your camp. If they can just steal $4.5 million from you and nobody notices it, what am I paying you for? If you ain't watching my money, who watching it?
Seriously. Yeah, go ahead, Jay. I don't know if you have anything to add on to that.
Man. I think that's it in a nutshell. It's just too many red flags for that story to hold up. There's more to this. I think the interesting thing will be how deep does MLB really want to dig into this, right? Like, he's their golden boy.
So
do they
really
want to dig into this thing, or do they just want to kind of sweep it under the rug and move on?
Yeah, and
maybe,
you gotta,
maybe he can go play NBA basketball for 2 years. You know,
what? Yeah, this is going to be a rough one for and it's going to be finagled for sure, because as Jay mentioned, he used a different term, but I was going to say he's pretty much the face of the, you know, of Major League Baseball right now because of the big contract that he signed and how much he deferred, you know, to the, on the back end, so allow, you know, the Dodgers to, you know, to sign other other free agents as well. So, yeah, it's hard to read him, to be honest with you. When you watch that, you can't really call it a press conference, because usually a press conference, you know, is, you know, it involves, you know, answering of questions, and no questions were ever given or answered. He just gave a statement to his, you know, through his new interpreter. Yeah, it's kind of shaky. He has a lot of money. You know, he has a lot of representation. You know, I'm going to stereotype here, ladies and gentlemen, but for a good reason. We know that, you know, Japanese, they're smart people. They're intelligent people, and you know that he has a lot of smart people, a lot of intelligent people around him. So it might have been premature for him to say, "Yeah, I paid this. You know, I paid it off," and then they're like, whoa, we can't say that. We got to do this. We got to go this route. So how MLB handles it, Jay, and like you mentioned, and E and our listeners, is going to be very interesting, because we know what gambling in baseball really means about it. And I think in the beginning of it, when it first came out, they said that gambling was not on baseball. I believe I heard that at the beginning when the stories first broke, that they said that, oh no, he wasn't betting on baseball. So, Pete, like you said, you sent me that thing. Pete Rose is sitting there, right, waiting with his popcorn and everything. Pete Rose is like, let's go have it. What we waiting? Let's go have it.
Pete Rose is there like, I wish it would.
Yeah, man, if Pete Rose is sitting there, his camp is just sitting there, see how this is going to play out. They're going to have their ears to the ground for sure, the ears to the mound, I should say, in this case. All right, staying on the same topic, man, we got another gambling scandal, if you will, here, E, and that's Jonte Porter, the NBA player from the Toronto Raptors. E, this, as you said, this guy, man, this guy goes out. I don't know if you, ladies and gentlemen, let me just lay it out for you, Ian, and then you break it, and then you can give me your thoughts and opinion, or give us your thoughts and opinion. So we got Jonte Porter again. He's a guard from the Toronto Raptors. Back in, I don't have the exact dates. I think it was sometime in February, sometime this month as well. What he did, when he had a It was a player prop. And if you don't know what that is, ladies and gentlemen, you look it up. If you're not a gambler, then what you could do is you can bet on players scoring over or under the gamblers or the betting tool, wherever you go, FanDuel, MGM, wherever you go, they set a certain prop where it's like over 5 points, over 5.5 points, over 5.5 rebounds, 3-point shots, whatever the case may be. You can bet on pretty much anything. So what happened was that a bet was made. I think it was like $10,000 was made on Jontay Porter to score under 5.5 points. And what happened was he came in for the game, and then he scored, I think, 3 points or something like that. And then he went out in the first three or four minutes, and he went out with a re-aggravated eye injury 3 minutes into the game, ladies and gentlemen. So he was under that prop. So that means that he's a winner. Then another game is pretty much the same thing, same points, and then three-pointer made. He went played 4 minutes and went out with an illness injury. You know, he scored 2 points. I forget exactly how many points he scored, but he did not attempt a 3-point shot, and the prop was him to make a 3-pointer. So another $10,000 to $15,000 was made. So that raised a red flag there, E. And this seems so blatant, man. That he is like, who's going to put up on this guy I've never even heard of before this scandal came out? First and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, I'm dialed into NBA, and all three of us, Jason, E, and myself, are dialed into NBA. I've never heard of him. Jason and E may have heard him, but I've never heard of him. Put up a bet like this, E, for under, and then he goes out 3 minutes into one game, 4 minutes into another game, and then that particular better, you know, won the $10,000 to $15,000. But, E, what say you about this? I don't know how much you know about this, and what, based off of what I said, what say you about this?
No, I know all about it. First of all, my first thing is going to be bonehead. Secondly,
what?
Did you know this is Michael Porter Jr.'s brother? I did not know that until this story
came out.
Yeah, this is Michael Porter Jr.'s brother. But here's the thing. DraftKings reported that it was the biggest movement in prop bets in the history of DraftKings.
So it had to be.
Not only are you scamming, you letting everybody in on the scam. It's kind of like, I don't know if this is a thing up north. Jay, you in ATL, so I know you probably done seen this before. You know how you pull up to, you maybe go to Quick Trip. You pull up to the gas pump, and you about to pay, and some dude standing there talking about, hey, man, give me the cash, and I'll pump the gas. I mean, you know, so you know, I don't know if y'all had a K-1, but it happens here. You pull up to the gas station, and you about to put your card in, or no, you say you pay cash? You're like, yeah, I'm going to pay cash. Nah, man, give me the money and put it on this card here. They hustling at the gas station. So this dude done said, hey, man, look, the over-under on me tonight is, you know, 5.5, 6 points. I can guarantee you it's going to be under. And, I mean, the word got out, and the story just broke. I mean, because DraftKings, you know, and these companies, you know, they go back to mob ties and stuff. They not finna just let this slide, K-Walk. I mean, somebody going to have to pay, literally pay for this because, I mean, this dude, I think he's about to be out of the league, dog. I mean, they suspended Ridley for a year, and it wasn't nearly this severe. This is tantamount to fixing games. I mean, this dude, they might even get rid of Michael Porter Jr. Because, you know, I was listening to some people this morning, and they were talking about him last year, you know, for the Heat. And they was like, it all looks suspect now that this came out, you know, with his cousin. His play and the things that he did, like, he was supposed to get, like, 9 rebounds. He only got, like, 8. And this other stuff, I mean, they digging deep. But, again, this is not just going to go away. But, again, if you're going to do something like this, you got to be smarter about it. And I'm thinking, okay, so I bet $15,000 on the under, whatever. I mean, I'm an NBA player. I'm getting an NBA salary. Why am I doing this? Or did I guess you get your friends to do it? I don't know, man.
Yeah.
This bonehead. That's all I got for you, bonehead.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, and let me let Jay go first, and I don't want to step on Jay's toes because Jay is really spot on. But Jay, what say you about this situation?
No, man, he said it best. There's not a whole lot more you can say to that. If you're gonna try it, do it better at least. Like these fake eye injuries and I don't feel good, like that looks really obvious.
That's what I'm talking about.
But my question though is, like, they said this was like the biggest loss in their history, right? Like, I want to know, like, how deep does this thing go? Like, is Porter sitting at the top of this thing, or is there somebody else that has their hooks in him? Like, look, we're going to throw this game tonight, and this is what you're going to do. Right?
Yeah.
Because if it was the biggest loss in history, it feels like it might run deeper than just, like, a subpar NBA player and some of his buddies. Like, I wonder if this thing is much deeper than that. So that's going to be interesting to look at. But K-Walk, yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much worse than this. And, man, if you want to talk about stupid, like, the way that he executed it was just horrible.
Yeah, and you look at it this way. I mean, we're talking about 6 points and one three-point shot. Like, bro, just hit that. I mean, it's ball. Once you get the ball, don't pass it.
Like he said, he had an illness, so they were joking around saying, "Oh, he had the bubble guts." Hey, man, go drop a deuce and get your ass back out there.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's easily fixable. I mean, and then he said, "Oh, I had an eye injury earlier." Well, then
re-aggravated eye injury.
You should have been a DMP CD coach. Said, "Come on, dog." Now, I mean, this was just idiotic, and I'm quite sure things like this go on and stuff like, but be smart about it, dog. I mean, yeah. It's kind of like you got a $100 million contract and you give your friends some money to fight some dogs. How much money can you make from dog fighting when you got a $100 million contract, then you got to go to jail for 2 years?
Seriously.
I mean, come on, dog. You got to make better decisions.
Yeah, man. And in the words of Money Mike, where was your antennas, you know, when this dude was robbing me? So that's how I'm looking at it. My antennas are way up. When I put my bets in these profits, I got to start thinking, like, you know, how this works, man. I got to start going back and things of that nature. But, it starts to make me say, I wonder why I didn't hit that prop. But anyway, that's a story for another day. All right, let's do this, ladies and gentlemen. Let's grab our next break. When we come back, I want to jump into the NFL, and I want to talk about the NFL rule changes, no hip drops, the kickoff change, and plus. Coach Prime has come out about Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter in next year's draft, about possibly pulling an Eli Manning in next year's draft. Got to get these guys' thoughts and opinions on that, because that, speaking of antennas, that raised my antennas on that one for sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sports Talk K-Walk East Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Taking a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is Jaquan J. Kelly, a.k.a. Jamel Irif, Master Killer of Wu-Tang and American Saga on Hulu. You're listening to Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott. They're taking a quick break, and they'll be right back.
This is Sam Drushkin, CEO and co-founder of Vintage Labs. You're listening to Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott. They're pausing for a break, but they'll be right back.
At Vintage Labs Collection, we are a multifaceted team of medical professionals dedicated to delivering the best quality products to patients. Our mission is to deliver the best supplement and patient outcomes in healthcare environments and consumer homes. Chat with our consulting pharmacists by visiting our website at www.vintagelabscollection.com. Supplements are not highly regulated, but Vintage Labs holds the standards higher than most.
CampLineman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. We built from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get off, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLineman.com.
Welcome back. It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, joined by a good buddy, Jason Collins. Jason Collins is a frequent caller and also my co-host on Tuesday nights, The Sideline Speaks, with ourselves and Brittany Jones. You can catch us live on YouTube and anywhere you get our your podcast. Listen to us live 7 to 9, 7 to whenever. If it's good, we go as long as we need to. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Sideline Speaks, Brittany Jones, Jason Collins, and Kevin Walker. All right, before the break, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking about the situation, the gambling situation there with Shohei Ohtani and Jontay Porter as well. Want to switch gears over to the NFL here, E, and there's been some rule changes, and I guess we'll go with the biggest one here, man, and that's the no hip drop tackle. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with that, you know, look it up. No hip drop tackles. It's basically when a defensive player, tackles an offensive player, and they use all of their weight to bring them down. I believe last season there were 230 somewhat injuries or something. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jason and E, there. But there's been injuries throughout. You know, Mark Andrews, who's the tight end from the Ravens, was one of the biggest names last season to suffer an injury from this particular type of tackle. But E, this is banned, man. And what say you? Your initial thought when you heard this was banned, and you hear a lot of feedback and people saying it's about the time that they put flags on these players. But your thoughts and opinions on this, for sure.
As a football fan, I'm here for the violence. I mean, this is just called straight as fade. We watch football because it's violent. Now, I think it's absolutely ridiculous to ban the hip drop tackle. And here's why. Not because it's overly violent, but because, okay, they banned spearing. That's clear cut. They banned helmet to helmet. Also clear cut. They banned horse collar. Also clear cut. The hip drop tackle is subjective. I mean, one ref might see it one way, and another ref might see it another way. Also, Jay, you play DB, right?
Yep.
Yeah, supposed to bring Derrick Henry down. If you don't use all your weight, how that's supposed to work? Now, keep in mind, Jay, you playing safety. Derrick Henry is you, him, in the goal line. He's at full speed. By the time he gets to you, ain't no help coming, Jay. It's you and him. How you supposed to get him down? if you can't sidestep him, grab him around the waist, and use your weight to bring him down, what are you supposed to do in that situation?
Mike Allstar.
It's tough. It's not tough.
He's finna score 6 points. It's not tough at all. Because if they're telling you that you got to square up and hit him head on, Jay, the last time you're going to hear is da-da-da. No, because you won't sports center. Because you just got ran over. No, man, you can't. And again, I'm all for making the game safer, and I understand that guys got hurt. But again, the horse collar, dangerous. Spearing, dangerous. Helmet to helmet, dangerous. The hip drop, and another thing about the hip drop, guys who play football, you've been doing this since Pop Warner. You can't just unlearn this. I mean, at this point, it's instinctual. I mean, you know you're not supposed to do it, and you might pull up in the middle of it. But, again, that's how you tackle. I don't understand how they're going to really legislate this rule. And when it's not, like I said, it's not spearing, it's not helmet to helmet, I don't understand it. And it gives the offense, in my opinion, a huge advantage. Because these bigger guys, like I said, like a Derrick Henry, like a Travis Kelce, the bigger tight ends, the bigger running backs, how else are safety supposed to bring them down? I mean, like, you know, cause once you get through the second level, once you get past Ray Lewis, it's Jay back then. Hey, dog. I don't know how he's supposed to do this. Yeah, I don't know, dog. I'm against it.
All right, good stuff. I can't argue with that, E. I'll let Jay give his thoughts and opinions on this, and then I'll give mine. But, Jay, what say you about this?
I actually disagree with almost everything that he said. And here's why. I do agree that there is some subjectivity to it, but every time I see it on TV, I know exactly what it is. And I'm here for the physicality. I love the physicality of football, but when over the last couple of years watching the hip drop tackle, it felt like a dirty play to me because guys get hurt almost every single time it happens. If you know if I do this tackle, I'm going to hurt a guy, and then you're still doing it, like, to me, it borderlines on a dirty play. And I feel like the hip drop is a relatively new tackle. I don't remember seeing a lot of hip drops 5-10 years ago. So to me, this is something that has recently come onto the scene. How were guys tackling 5, 10, 15 years ago? They were figuring out a way to get guys to the ground without breaking their ankles and breaking their legs. So I'm totally against the hip drop because the rate of injury is too high. And E, like, you're right. Like, I've never had to face Derrick Henry one-on-one, but, man, I've had to face Ron Dane, Eddie George, K-Walk mentioned Mike Allstott. And you just have to find a way to get those big guys down. And sometimes it's just grab and hold on and wait for help to come. But I'm in favor of getting it out of the game because the risk of injury is just too high. And if we're all about the safety of the players, then we got to get this tackle out of the game. There's other ways to get guys on the ground, and I'm totally fine with the hip drop being out of football.
Yeah, good stuff there, Jay. Yeah, and I thought when you said I totally agree, I disagree with everything that he said. I thought you were going to say, like, yeah, I'm not afraid to take on Derrick Henry. I can get him down. You know, I'm not worried about that. I thought you were going to leave
him.
I would have
went low on him, K-Walk.
It was legal back then, right? Legal. Self-preservation is a real thing, ladies and gentlemen. Believe you me. But, I agree with, everything, you know, what Jay said, because like I mentioned it last night, and I'm going to stick by it, is I think the play is it's a dirty play. And, you know, Jay mentioned all of the injuries, and I kind of alluded to it as well, is that, you know, so many tackles were done. They documented, obviously they document everything in the NFL. I think that, you know, it's something that, you know, it puts, guys at risk. And like Jay said, I've never, you know, watching football as long as I've been watching football and playing football, as long as I've been playing football, I'm not 250 pounds, never have been, but, I've never seen a tackle like that. I've never been tackled like that. And, you know, I mentioned last night, I liked it. I don't know if I could say this. Should I say this, Jay? But I like the tackle because it got us Brock Purdy, because that's how Jimmy Garoppolo ultimately got hurt. But I don't know if I should say that, guys. But, you know, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. But, yeah, you know, I don't like it, man. I just think that it's borderline dirty to me. It's borderline dirty play. And to go back to something you mentioned, E, is like, how do the refs determine if it's a dirty play? I guess that's another one of those rules or one of those calls that it's a judgment call. Obviously, if it happens and a player gets hurt, that's going to be a no-brainer. They're going to look at that. I don't know if we review that, if you're going to have a guy up there looking, you know, say, oh, that was a hip drop. That falls into the category of a hip drop. Even if one of the refs miss it, maybe they have someone in the booth to look at that and buzz down on, you know, to them and say, listen, let's review this. This looks like, to us, it looks like a hip drop. So let's penalize these guys for that. So it's going to be something that a lot of these players or a lot of defensive players are going to have to get used to. I think that we've seen it, like, Jay, I think Jay, you gave like 5-year window. I think that might be the limit there. Maybe the biggest window there. I don't even remember seeing it in the last three or four years. But nonetheless, it's something that they're going to keep an eye on. You know, they're going to have eyes in the sky, and we all know that. The big brother's always watching it in that aspect. All right, another rule change that took place here, E, And that's the kickoff change. And the kickoff change, man, is like it's something that the XFL has implemented where, you know, they put the ball at what I think it's the 30-yard line. They line them up 5 yards apart, meaning the coverage team and the cover return team as well. No one can move other than the kicker and the return person until the return person has the ball in the hands. And what they're trying to do, ladies and gentlemen, is they're trying to eliminate the contact, you know, lining up as far, so far as they were, and then, you know, guys, you know, colliding with one another. And this could put a lot of points on the board, and you know, as far as the offense is going to be, that you know, that you know, all the defensive guys are saying, listen, this is turning into like a flag football type of league. But what say you about this particular rule change? Are you for it? You're against it? And right now they're saying that it's only in place for the year, so it's kind of like a trial run, if you will. But what say you?
See, there's another one that I'm against, because this one pretty much takes away the onside kick. Had it not mm-hmm. been for the onside kick, my team probably wouldn't have a Super Bowl win. I mean, we needed that onside kick going into the second half. Again, you got a guy like Devin Hester. I think he finally got in the Hall of Fame, but Devin Hester's a Hall of Famer for special teams, because mm-hmm. you got three aspects of the game: offense, defense, special teams. He may be one of the greatest special teams players ever. And then with this rule here, I don't know whether this would have made him better, would have made him worse, but I don't know. It's just I think I'm for the trial just to see how it works. But again, yeah. And I also heard too, now with an onside kick, you have to announce the onside kick. Because I remember our Super Bowl win, after we won it, our kicker came out with an interview and said Sean Payton told him going into the locker room at halftime. He said, because they had been working on it all week. He said Sean Payton looked at him and just said, we're doing it, and ran into the locker room. Didn't tell anybody else. So now this dude got to sit through halftime of the Super Bowl, which you know is an extra 20, 30 minutes. He's nervous as I don't know what. He's the only one that knows that this is about to happen. The team doesn't know, the other coaches, whatever. Sean just told him we're doing it. And so now, like I said, now you got to announce when you're going to do the onside kick. I don't know. We'll see how it works. I'm not as against this one as I am the hip drop thing, only because I think the hip drop thing is very subjective. But this one, if it's going to create more offense, hey, I'm here for it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And Jay, what say you about this? You and I talked about it again for our listeners here tonight. What say you about this rule change?
Yeah, this one I'm a little bit more neutral on, K-Walk, because it doesn't feel like NFL football to me. Like watching the XFL style of the kick, it just feels a little hokey. It feels a little bit like carnival type vibe to it. So I don't love it for the NFL. And to E's point, it takes the surprise away from the onside kick in those moments where you kind of want to sneak one in. And so I agree with that.
Yeah.
But then, like, if you start looking at some of the numbers, I think the recovery rate of onside kicks in the NFL is only like around 6 or 7%. So a lot of teams aren't making these recoveries even when people don't know it's coming, or if they do know it's coming. But I really think, K-Walk, the main reason they did this is because the kickoff had almost become a non-play in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think 77% of kicks had been touchbacks. So I think they're doing this to just get that play back into the game. I mean, you know, you think about it, you're leading up to a Super Bowl or a big playoff game, you got the opening kickoff, and boom, it's a touchback. You know, so I think they're trying to bring some excitement back to the game with this. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I'm kind of on that, let's watch it play out for a year and see what it looks like, and then kind of go from there. So it's going to be interesting, K-Walk. I don't really have strong feelings about it either way, but it doesn't feel like an NFL thing to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. Go ahead, Cody.
They currently kick from the 35, right, on a kickoff?
Yeah.
Okay, back it up and make them kick it from the 20. Then you pretty much eliminate the
That's what they used to do.
Yeah, kick it from the 10, the 15, or the 20 or the 15. Now you don't have nearly as many touchbacks, and you ain't got to do all this other stuff. But, yeah, I'm with you, Jay. Let it play out, and let's just try it on and see how it fits.
Yeah, without question. And, E, before, you know, when you guys, you know, won the Super Bowl and you got that onside kick, as you mentioned, that was before the rule change, because there was another rule change right after that. That, you know, it was like not virtually impossible, but like Jay mentioned, the percentage is as far as, you know, completing onside kicks or getting the onside kicks, that happened. You know, that when Austin made that change, but, you know, we saw very little onside kicks being recovered by the kicking team. You know, even the 49ers had to, you know, do that. I think it was against I don't know if it was the Lions or the Packers game, you know, where George Kittle had to fall on that. But that's a rare incident. But, you know, they're changing. I don't know how to feel about this, ladies and gentlemen. It looks weird. You know, you want to see how it really looks if you watch the XFL. I'm not promoting that because they're not paying me, so just watch the XFL when it happens. I think it's this weekend, putting up against, you know, the Elite Eight in basketball, or college basketball. I don't know why you do that. But nonetheless, check it out and see how you feel about it. And I'm definitely going to see how it, you know, on paper, I don't like it. It's weird. It's a change. I'm the old man on the porch. So, you know, stay off my lawn. Don't change what I already know. You know, you already changed it a little bit. But nonetheless, let's stay tuned on that. All right, E, let's switch gears. And this is one that I really wanted to get into, you know, because of the fact of the matter. I don't know if you guys, meaning the late our listeners, heard about this. Coach Prime comments about Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter pulling an Eli Manning in next year's draft, meaning that these guys are going to, no matter, he feels, this is Coach Prime's thoughts and predictions. He feels like those two guys are going to go in the top four of next year's draft. And depending on who is going to be drafting, in those positions, they're going to demand you trade me, or you know, I'm not going to play here. I want to go here. They're going to command where they go. They're demand where they go. E, I don't know if you heard this. I believe you did, but this Coach Prime saying this, man, we all know Coach Prime is a trendsetter, man. We all know about that, about how he gets down with his business. And I know it's his players, it's his son. But it's very possible that these guys will do that. Are they, first and foremost, will it happen? And two, are they good enough to demand this, man? I mean, give me your thoughts and opinions on Coach Prime's comments.
Now, here's my problem. Let's start here. Now, with Shedeur, okay, fine. That's your son. That's your flesh and blood. Archie was Eli's father. You're not Travis Hunter's father. Now, and from my understanding, I think Travis Hunter's father's locked up, I think. Now, I don't know Coach Prime probably does, but I don't personally know Travis Hunter's family's financial situation. We know Shedeur's financial situation. He's driving a Bentley or a Rolls Royce. He's driving a Rolls Royce around.
I don't mean to cut you off, but just to let you know this, Travis Hunter just bought his mother a house, a new house. So that just to sum that up for you. Go ahead. Continue.
That's probably from some NIL money that he needs to keep coming in. I'm saying I don't know what his family's financial situation was prior to this. So if he bought her a house, which is great, but he needs to keep the money coming in. My point was, I'm not saying he's poor, but I'm just saying he needs to check to keep coming in. Now, Shedeur can say, hey, say, for example, say just throwing a team out there, Carolina gets the first pick, they're going to draft Shakur. He can afford to not go there, whereas I don't know if Travis Hunter can, but maybe he can. But then again, also, too, I don't know how high they're going to be on the draft board that they can afford to do this now. Because keep in mind, Eli was the number one overall pick, and Archie was able to do this.
If now Travis Hunter is good, but he's small. There's some questions about his size. Shadur, he's good, but I don't know if he's going to be the first quarterback off the board. And again, Coach Prime is his father. Coach Prime has that pull. I don't know if he can do this for Travis Hunter, but hey, man, if you know what's the how they say it, you like it, I love it. But I just don't think – I think it's the draft is – the way they do the draft anyway, is that's a whole nother conversation. But again, I mean, I don't know, K-Wall. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Coach Prime, I don't know if this changes your thoughts or your opinions on this, E, but Coach Prime basically put them in a category of 1 to 4, meaning that one of them was going to go, one of them was going to go first, or the second was is not going to drop any lower than, not going to go after 4. He didn't say who would go 1 and who would go 2, who would go 3, who would go 4. He just said, you know, those two would be in the top 4. So I don't know if that changed. That's based off of Deion, and we all know Deion is, you know, that I guess he's looking to the future. You know, he has his crystal ball, he has his hat on, his crystal ball, his psychic hat, his Deion Warwick mojo, whatever you want to call it. But he's saying 1 through 4. Does that change your thoughts and opinions on that?
Well, I want to also see how the Colorado season plays out, because in order to be that high, you're going to have to ball out. I know they were good, but they weren't on a good team. You're going to have to win more than 4 games if you hope to be the number 2 and number 4 pick in the draft. I mean, I don't care how good you are individual. Basketball, that may fly. But in football, if your team only wins 4 games, it's going to be a tough road to hoe for you to be the 2 and the 4 pick. And that's not saying anything about your skills. That just means there are going to be a whole lot of players that we perceive to be better than you that are going to be on the draft board.
Yeah, great stuff. Go ahead.
If he can get Mel Kiper or Todd McShay to say 2 and 4, because, you know, they made more millionaires than Jeff Bezos. Now, if he can get one of them to say it, hey, there you go. But I just think they're going to have a good season. I'm not saying they got to win the national championship, but they're going to need to win more than 4 games.
Yeah, he just thought he's trying to, you know, he's being prime. You know, he's selling what he's selling. You know, he wants you to buy what he's selling. So we got to, you know. Well, we have to let it play out. But, Jay, what say you about Prime in these comments, bro?
Yeah, so I think there's two sides to this, right? Like, number one, I feel like Coach Prime, I mean, he was a once-in-a-lifetime talent. And
yes,
I feel like he's writing checks with his talent that I'm not so sure those other two dudes can cash.
Can cash,
so he might
right?
just want to slow down on that a little bit, right? I think they're really good players, and I think they both have a chance to be in the first round. But are they good enough to say, I'm not going there? I think he's got to pump the brakes on that a little bit. But then the other side of it, K-Walk, is, like, especially for a quarterback, you know, like, where you go can decide if you're going to have a good career or not.
Yes, sir.
Like,
yes.
Look at C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. I mean, C.J. Stroud is on a good team with a good organization, and he flourished. Bryce Young, who we all thought was talented, ends up in Carolina, has no offensive line, and now people are wondering if this guy can even play in the league. So I get Coach Prime wanting them to go to a good situation, but, again, he's the greatest cornerback ever to live. He can't just assume that these guys are in his category. So I think he's just got to slow down. He's right. Have a great season, and then start talking about that stuff. It's a little too early to talk about it right now for me.
Yeah, Jay, and you got to wonder, you know, when, you know, because we talked about this, you know, a little bit, kind of alluded to that. We didn't go in depth with this, you know, as far as talking about Caleb Williams. There were talks about Caleb Williams, you know, doing the same thing as far as, you know, demanding where he goes. I want to be, part owner, and if I don't get this and that, then, you know, I'm going to demand a trade or what have you. But Jay and E or E, I'll come with you on this one. But E, we've seen so many changes. We talked about the rule changes. We talked about how everything has transpired in the NFL, salary cap and, you know, the market and who makes what. So would you be surprised if you start to see this type of, you know, this trend, if you will, where these guys are projected to be the best in the draft? They're going to, you know, they're, you know, the, you know, they want to go to, I mean, the first team, you know, the Commanders, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just throwing a name out there, but sorry if I'm disrespecting your team. But you got, you know, a team that has the number one pick, but no one wants to go there. You know, that top guy doesn't want to go there. Do you sense that this is going to be a trend going forward? What say you, E?
I don't know. It's tough to say because some dudes are just built different. Some dudes will welcome the chance to go to a team that's struggling to make that team better. They're like, hey, yeah, if I go over here, it's going to be all about me, and I can mm-hmm. be the same. I mean, that's just so – I don't think it's necessarily going to be a trend, but it won't be the last time that we see okay. this happening. But I'm just thinking in my mind – if you not projected, if you projected any lower than the top three, I don't really think you have that kind of power. And that's no matter how good you are. But if you projected at 1, 2, or 3, maybe 4 to 5, you may have this kind of leverage. But anything after 5, hey man, you just happy you got drafted. I mean, I don't see you having that kind of pull. I mean, because If the 1 and 2 do it, then that makes you, if you're at 3 or 4, say they don't want to go to, like you said, Washington, and Washington lets them out of it, then that moves you up the draft board. And I mean, I don't know. I think it's a bad precedent to set.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm a fan of the way the draft works, but I think it's going to give the illusion to a lot of guys that they have power that they really do not have. I mean, because you look at some of the greats. Tom Brady was drafted in the 6th round. Russell Wilson yep. was drafted in the 3rd round. I mean, mm-hmm. so can you imagine Tom Brady talking about, yeah, dog, I ain't going to the Patriots. You a 6th-round pick. You will go where we tell you to go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. that's just, I don't know.
Yeah, and you make some great points there, man. But, Jay, what say you about this? Do you see it becoming a trend?
I don't see it becoming a trend, K-Walk, and here's why. And maybe some of these guys need a reminder. The NFL does not need you. The NFL does not need any one single player. Guys come into the league, guys go out of the league every year, and the billion-dollar machine just keeps on moving. So I think guys start making a little NIL money. Maybe they start feeling themselves, thinking they have a little bit more power than they do. The NFL doesn't need you. Like, they'd like to have mm-hmm. you, but they don't need you. And I think guys need to understand that. I didn't love it when Elway did it. I didn't love it when Eli did it. I agree with E. There's definitely some issues with the draft, but it is what it is, and I don't see it becoming a trend because, like E said, maybe in some of those years, one or two guys might be good enough to try to pull it off. But I think in most years, K-Walk, that there's not going to be generational players that think they have that kind of power.
Yeah, I mean, good stuff there. I'm going to put, to steal a term from my buddy E. Scott, let's put a pin in this because I want to revisit this because the reason why I want to revisit it is because of the fact of the matter is, let's say, hypothetically speaking, ladies and gentlemen, let's say it does become a trend. Like, what happens, you know, if these guys, you know, say I want to go here and then these guys, you know, another team trade for them. How much do they have to give up for that, meaning that particular team that wants that particular player? Also, does it affect their pay as well as far as, you know, if they're going to, you know, if they're going to be traded to that particular team? I think there's so many different levels to this, and I want to revisit this, ladies and gentlemen, at a later date. We are, you know, we're pressed for time. You know, we're almost on top of that clock because I definitely have to get into this topic here, E. And our good buddy Jason is here. So he's a Cowboy fan right now, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know, he's a Cowboy fan.
You're
you heard him, ladies and gentlemen, right? we have to talk about Dak Prescott's extension. There are talks been put on hold right now. Jerry Jones has said that right now they're locked in to Dak Prescott's contract this season. This season, ladies and gentlemen. So with that being said, and he's on the books. I think he constructed his deal for $4 million, say $4 million. You know, constructed a deal to allow them to save $4 million. That's nothing really. That's a kicker's. You know, punter makes that much money. But nonetheless, Dak Prescott, do the Cowboys extend him after this year? I need to know everything, how you feel about Dak, and then, Jay, I'll come to you after E's thoughts and opinions.
Will they? I don't know. Should they? Absolutely. Because feel about Dak how you want to. He is a franchise quarterback. I mean, he hasn't won many playoff games, he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but there are a lot of guys out there in that boat. Because I think with a guy like Dak, if you're going to move on from that, you got to have a plan in place. Now, I don't know if they do or not, but you can't just go get another Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is not a running back. Well, you know, they GMs believe, we can get a running back anywhere. A franchise quarterback is a little harder to find. And even if you don't like Dak, he is a franchise quarterback. So.
Great.
And Jerry is one of these guys who won't get out here and just say the correct thing. Jerry, old school and old, because, you know, he playing with house money. He can go in today now. And Jerry going to tell it like it is, because both Mike McCarthy and Dak are on the hot seat going into this season. And I think that's a mistake by Jerry. I think you go ahead, you extend Dak, but you structure the contract where you can bring Dak in some help. Because in my opinion, one of the biggest mistakes the Cowboys made is getting rid of Zeke. Now, Zeke passed his prime now. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have got rid of Zeke because of his play. I'm saying Zeke made Pollard better, because Pollard is not an every down back. But if he had a complimentary back, such as an Ezekiel Elliott, that's why he looked so good when he did. And they were like, oh, Pollard's just as good as Zeke. We can get rid of Zeke. And now we got Pollard. Well, it don't really work like that, because you didn't bring in a complimentary back to Pollard. I just think right now, because Jerry Ole, Dallas is being mismanaged properly. I think they got talent over there and they could possibly win with it, but they're making too many bonehead mistakes. But, yeah, go ahead and give Dak his money, because I don't see you getting anybody better than that.
Jay, what say you, brother?
Man, I agree. He's preaching. I 100% agree. But I think the issue that maybe Jerry's having, right, because I think we would all agree that Dak is a very good quarterback, but he's not elite, right? And some might even struggle to say that he's great. And as that cap keeps going up and those quarterback numbers keep going up, Jerry's probably looking at this thing saying, okay, where does it stop? Like, is this guy a $60 million a year guy? Is he a $60 million? Like, where does it stop? So I understand that Jerry's probably thinking, man, at some point this price is getting too high, even for a very good quarterback. But like E said, if you don't have a plan in place and somebody you know that can replace him, then you got to pay the man. You absolutely have to.
Yeah, I agree, man. I have to agree. And I was just saying this to, you know, I was watching as soon as I got home. The one thing I do is I put on two things. I put on the rerun of The Cosby Show and Different World and The Cosby Show. And I put on ESPN on the other TV. And one of the things that came up is that, you know, Dak Prescott and what they expect from him and what the contract is. And Jerry Jones has come out and stated, as I mentioned earlier, is that, you know, they're locked into his contract this year. And then they broke down the numbers. He's set to possibly make over $1.60 million. $60 million. So I'm looking at it like, if they move on and they would have get a cap hit of like $52 million or whatever, you got to keep Dak, because who are you going to go out there and possibly get? Like, who's out there right now that you're going to say that is our franchise quarterback? like, what do you have to, do is one, you have to surround Dak with talent. I know you're going to say, a lot of people are going to say, well, Dak had talent. He had Ezekiel. He had Tony Pollard. He had CeeDee Lamb, so forth and so on. They just got, you know, they just lost their offensive lineman. They lost Pollard. You know, I don't want to give Jerry Jones, you know, credit because he hasn't shown the ability to do sneaky stuff. But he's in a position where they don't have to go out there and get a guy. Maybe they go in the draft. But I do have to say this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a 49er fan. And you know how much I dislike the Cowboys. I think Dak Prescott is the best you're going to get. You're not going to get anyone better. Dak is a top 10 quarterback, in my opinion. He is. He's good. Yeah, he breaks down in certain, he shuts down or he taps out, if you will, in certain situations, but he's still not going to get anyone better. So I think that, you know, what Jerry Jones is doing right now, he's waiting to see how it plays out. But Jerry, if you're listening, he's probably asleep right now, but if if you're going to listen to the replay.
He had dinner at 4:30. He had a Johnny Blue at about 6. Yeah, he just shut down. I can't walk because he'll be up in a couple hours.
That's cold.
It is what it is, Jay. You can agree with that. But, you know, listen to the replay here, Jerry, in the representation. Listen, man, keep Dak. Dak's your best option to win. I don't think he's going to do it in the next 2 years, but because I'm not going to talk about my 49ers. But, yeah, I think you keep him because where are you going to go elsewhere? And if there's no other quarterbacks are available, you're not going to bring in a quarterback out of this year's draft. I think we can all agree. I think, you know, EJ and myself can all agree that you don't really have a quarterback that's going to step in the next couple of years and be that guy. Dak is that guy. He's proven. He's gotten better each and every year. I think he led the team, led the league in yards and touchdowns thrown. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, there with the numbers. But he is your best option because he's a top 10 quarterback. You're not gonna shake a tree and find a top 10 and a top 10 quarterback is not gonna fall out of that tree. You just build around him, man. You build around him and you make him better. If it's not the players, then it's the coach. If it's not the head coach, then it's the offensive coordinator. Then you got to find someone that's going to be comparable to Dak's skill set, and you got to put him in the best situation. But yeah, Cowboy fans, you know, knock on Jerry's world and let him know like Dak is the guy. $60 million is kind of steep, but nonetheless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're up against the clock right here. So with that being said, let's get into E. Scott's segment. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to the if you're a longtime listener, you already know. If you're new to the show, stay on your toes. It's Sports Talk with K Walk E. Scott. Never had it so good sports radio. Stay on your toes for E. Scott's entertainment segment.
How you do that death? New Orleans, Baton Rouge. How you do that death? Lafayette, St. Charles. How you do that death? Shreveport, Mississippi. How you do that death? Alabama, Atlanta. How you do that death? Florida, Arkansas. How you do that death?
It's like, who that? Yeah, they want to do that.
Hey, what up, guys? East Coast Entertainment segment is being brought to you by
Ventures Labs. Ventures Labs is bringing the best patient outcomes in healthcare environments and consumer homes. To schedule a consultation with a pharmacist, please visit Vintage Labs Collection at VintageLabsCollection.com. Again, that is VintageLabsCollection.com.
Okay, guys, I dialed up a good one for you tonight. K-Walk, I think you're going to be glad you didn't put up the 25. This may be one of the toughest ones I've ever wrote because when I was doing it, I'm like, yeah, because I was thinking Special K might be on. I'm like, yeah, this one's going to be pretty tough. But then I was like, okay, let me get Jay on because Jay will know these because Jay's an educator. Well, I might not should have said that because if you don't do well, you might not want people knowing that you're out here teaching the children and you don't know that. So, yeah, I take that back. Jay's not a teacher. Right. But I got for you tonight books and authors. I'm going to give you a book, and you got to tell me who's the author of said book.
Oh, man.
Now, they are popular ones, so it's not like I went back in some book y'all ain't never heard of. Some of them are tougher than others, but I think all the books on the list, you will at least know the book, even if you don't know who wrote it.
I'm done.
We got 19
yeah.
on the board, three daily doubles.
I don't need Google. I need my wife right now because she looks like a yin-yang boy. All right, give me number one, bro. Give me number one.
Number one, A Tale of Two Cities. Who wrote A Tale of Two Cities?
Let me see. What author do I know? Let me look at one of my wife's books here. I don't know, bro. Tale of Two Cities, that will be, I don't know, William Shakespeare. I don't know. Poet. I don't know. I have no idea.
Jay, you can steal. Who wrote A Tale of Two Cities?
Yeah, man. I don't think I'm going to know a lot of these, but I do know this one. That's Charles Dickens, final answer.
Okay.
That is the correct answer, Charles Dickens.
Marvel,
also wrote Oliver Twist. I'd like some more, please. But anywho, okay, we owe you. 1 through 19.
All right, give me number 8.
Number 8, The Great Gatsby. Who wrote The Great Gatsby?
Ooh. I don't think I know this one. The Great Gatsby. Yeah, I don't know. You either know these or you don't. I don't know. I don't want to answer.
K-Walk, you can steal. The Great Gatsby.
That'll be William Shakespeare, final answer.
That's F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I've read two books in my life. One was Michael Jordan, I Cannot Try, and the other one was a Yankees book. So I'm telling you right now, I'm going to stink at
you. You are here. Sam, I
do not like Green Eggs Ham. I do not like Green
Eggs Ham. K-Walk, we owe you.
Yeah, all right. Give me number 19.
Number 19, The Rainmaker. Popular movie. Who wrote The Rainmaker?
Okay, so with that being said, I know the, let's go with Tom Cruise, final answer.
Jay, The Rainmaker.
I'm telling you, I'm not gonna go well with this.
Nah, Jay, I know it ain't Tom Cruise, but I don't know it either.
Okay, that's John Grisham. Y'all familiar with him, John Grisham? That was
the name sounds familiar.
Jay, we on you.
All right, give me number 2.
Number 2, Pride and Prejudice. Now I know y'all have heard of this one. You might not know the author, but I know you because like, some of these were high school or college reading materials that were required. Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah. I definitely heard of that one. It's familiar, E, but I don't be paying attention to authors that much unless I've actually read the book. So I gotta say I don't know on this one as well. K-Walk, we ain't representing too good right now.
Bro. Hey, Jay, I told you in the beginning, I don't read books, man. I don't read books. That's a movie. All right, well, I'm not...
This one was a movie. This one, they made this one into a movie.
All right, so Terrence Howard, final answer. I don't know.
The correct answer is Jane Austen.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I
will say this. Most of these on the list, I actually knew. I didn't have to look up. One or two I did, but so... You know, we all around the so they're difficult, but I just picked ones I knew because I thought you guys would know these.
I'm ignorant to authors, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, right now, I'm ignorant to this.
Okay, well, we owe you.
Oh, that wasn't me. Give me number. Let me see what number I go with. 15. 15.
Now this one you should know. Who wrote the book Dracula?
Dracula. Who wrote the book Dracula? I actually. I don't.
Oh, Francis Ford Coppola. I don't know. Francis Ford Coppola. Oh, no. I know who it is. Oh, that's
go ahead. Go ahead. I mean,
Bram Stoker. Bram Stoker. Yes. I do know that one.
Bram Stoker is the correct answer.
Oh, I just realized.
And nobody else
said it.
So we're gonna give you. We're gonna go ahead and give you that one. But yeah, that is
cool.
The correct answer. So now you're
all
on
right.
the board. Jay,
I'm
we're on you.
I knew that one too. All right, give me number three.
Number three, Harry Potter. Who wrote the Harry Potter books?
Harry Potter.
I mean, you got to get this one. That's J.K. Rowling. Final answer.
J.K. Rowling is the correct answer. That is correct.
It's so funny you said that. I actually knew that one. I actually knew that one. Okay. I'm giving myself enough credit. All right. Give me my quarterback. Number seven.
Number seven. I think this is an easy one too. Moby Dick. Who wrote the book Moby Dick?
Ooh, I just watched. Oh my God. I just watched this on Cosby Show. Herman Melville. I know this.
Yeah.
I know this. I'll answer. I know it is.
Herman Melville is the correct
yes.
answer.
I just,
we got ourselves a game. It's 10-10.
Thank God for Cosby Show. See, I told you. I told you I was going. Oh, I'm talking to my wife. I told her. Anyway, I'm talking junk right now. I'm high on myself right now.
Jay, where are you?
All right. Give me number four.
Number four.
Four.
I think this one is an easy one, but it we'll see. Your clue, War and Peace. Who wrote War and Peace? K-Walk, I know you know this one because of Seinfeld. Not that you probably ever read War and Peace, but you probably know the answer to this one.
I'm a Seinfeld fan as well. I've seen every episode. Is it like Tolstoy? I'm not sure how to pronounce the name.
Yeah,
Tolstoy
yeah,
or something like that.
Yes, Tolstoy is the correct answer. Oh, Jay, I didn't know you were in the Seinfeld like me and K-Walk.
Yes,
Tolstoy is the correct answer. K-Walk, where are you?
All right. Lord have mercy. Give me number, let me see where we're at. 13, 1-3.
Number 13. The name of the book is called As Nasty As I Want to Be. I've actually read this book.
As Nasty As I Want to Be. That sounds like a rapper. I don't know. Is that Jay-Z? Final answer? I don't know. Isn't that?
Jay, you know this one?
I do not know this one. K-Walk said a rapper. I don't know.
That's actually Dennis Rodman's autobiography.
Oh.
And that's Dennis Rodman. Because I've actually read that.
Yes. Yeah. I know the name now. Okay. I thought it was a rapper, though.
Jay, we're on you.
All right. Give me number 11.
Number 11. Think Like a Lady.
That hit wrong. I know Jay knows this one.
Is that if the only person giving that kind of advice is Steve Harvey? So I'm just guessing Steve Harvey. I don't know, but I'm gonna say Steve Harvey.
That is the correct guess. That is a good guess. Steve Harvey is the correct answer.
Guess.
Jay, I'm mean, okay. Well, where are you?
All right, my bad for that, ladies and gentlemen. Number nine. Give me number nine. I know. Number nine.
Number nine. This one I read in the ninth grade. Animal Farm.
Ooh. Ooh. Animal Farm. Oh, my God. Is that Dr. Seuss? Dr. Seuss, final answer. I don't know. I don't know.
Jay, Animal Farm.
This is a pretty famous author, and I'm familiar with the book, but I cannot remember who wrote it, man. So I got to say, I don't know.
The guy's name is George Orwell. We read in the ninth grade.
Yeah.
Animal Farm. Okay, Jay, we got
all right.
Number 15?
18.
18. The James Bond books. Any James Bond book? Who's the author?
Oh yeah. Um,
I am not a James Bond guy at all. I got to say, I don't know. Final answer.
K-Walk, James Bond.
I know this one because I am a James Bond guy. Ian Fleming, final answer. Lock it in.
Ian Fleming? Ian Fleming is the correct answer. You have 15, Jay has 20. We still got three daily doubles. So we got lots of game here.
Smart enough.
Jay, we on you.
Was that Jay or me?
No. Okay, sorry. K-Walk, we on you.
All right, give me number. Where we at? Number 16. 16.
Number 16, daily double.
Oh, Lord.
You have 15, Jay has 20. What you want to do?
It doesn't even matter at this point. Let's go all in. I don't even care. I mean, I care. I'm all in. I don't care.
Because
if you lose by, like you said earlier, if you're not first, then you're last.
I think that's a great decision to go all in because this is one of the easier ones on the board. You know, every now and then I give you an easier daily double, and this was
okay.
It. Just so you know, your clue,
okay.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, man.
William Shakespeare, follow answer.
That is the correct follow answer.
Yes, sir.
You made a good decision. Jay, there's still two daily doubles out there. Where you at?
Give me number 10.
Number 10, daily double.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Hold on, let me get you. I gotta give you the clue, bro. I gotta give you the clue. All right, go ahead.
Okay, Jay, K-Walk now has 30, and you have 20.
I'm going all in. K-Walk went all in. I'm going all in.
Okay.
Another great decision, because I think this may be the second easiest one. Let's see if you know. The Autobiography of Malcolm X.
That is a good one. It's the autobiography
of Malcolm X, yeah.
That means Malcolm X wrote it, right? If it's an autobiography.
Okay, well, then let me change it.
You're the educator,
the biography of Malcolm X. Malcolm X didn't write it.
Oh, shoot. I don't know. The biography of Malcolm X. I don't know, E. I got to say I don't know. Final answer.
Damn, you lost all your points. That's Alex Haley.
Man.
Same dude who wrote Roots. Okay, well, we still got some time here. We got some clues.
Oh, wow.
K-Walk.
All right, my heart is palpitation right now. Give me 14, 1-4.
Number 14, Becoming.
Oh,
the name
of
the book is Becoming.
I know this.
Oh, yes, that's my lady. That's my lady. That's Michelle Obama, final answer. Ooh.
The Forever First Lady, that is correct. Jay, where are you?
Is 5 still on the board?
Yes,
5 is still on the board.
All right, give me 5.
Number 5, The Catcher in the Rye.
I know this book. I think I've read this one. I think it's Selinger or Selinger, something like that. Final answer?
That's close enough. J.D. Salinger, that is correct. We'll give you the points. K-Walk, we on you.
I wouldn't have known that one. Give me number, let me see what we got. 6. Who's my, give me 17. 1-7.
17. The Shawshank Redemption.
Ooh.
Who wrote the Shawshank Redemption?
Shawshank Redemption. I don't know. I want to reach out to my wife, but I can't. I don't know who wrote this. I'm going to say Tim Robbins. I don't know. Final answer.
Jay, you can steal. It's all Redemption.
Yeah, man, this is a well-known author. I believe this is Stephen King. Final answer.
He wrote that?
Stephen King is the correct answer. Let's see. I'm showing 6 and 12. What are you showing? Okay, well.
The same. I'm showing the same.
Oh, 6 and 12. All right, Jay, yes. We got 6 and 12. One of them's the daily double.
All right, give me number 6.
Number 6 is the daily double. You really had no choice but to go all in here, Jay. I don't think you can catch K-Walk, because K-Walk has 30, you have 10.
All right, let's go all in. Let's make it interesting at least.
Okay. This one not as easy as the other two, but you still might know it because you're out here educating the children. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, ooh. Man, I've read that one. I've been to see the play. I've seen it all. That's Harper Lee, final answer.
Harper Lee is the correct final answer. And the last clue on the board, K-Walk, number 12, The Godfather. Who wrote The Godfather?
Oh.
Another one I've read.
I don't know who wrote it. Francis Coppola.
Well, it was Francis Ford Coppola.
That's what I'm saying.
He directed the movie.
I know. That's the only thing I can think of. I can't think of the Arthur. That's why I went with the director. So follow answer.
Jay, Francis Ford Coppola.
If I look this one up real quick, will I get close?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know it either. I don't know.
The answer is Mario Puzo. Mario Puzo, the Godfather. Hey, but you guys did a lot better than you thought you would. I thought this was an interesting category. And again, I tried to pick books that I know, and I've actually read some of these. But, you know, you guys went to PWIs, and I went to an HBCU. So I don't know what
matters.
Y'all over there. But,
apparently nothing.
I read some of these, but that was it. I think it came out, you know, pretty good. K-Walk, looks like we got about 5 minutes left. Before you take us on home, I want to get you guys' opinion on this Puff Daddy situation. I mean, they raid two of Puffy's houses, and they show Puffy at an airport pacing back and forth, and he's watching his sons get arrested. Now, I'm not here to pass judgment on Puffy. I don't know if he did it, if he not, whatever. I'm not here for that. My thing is, though, we're all fathers. If you see your child getting arrested for some stuff you done did, wouldn't that motivate you to try to make this right?
E, it is so funny you said that, man, because that was one of the first things I thought of when I saw his sons in handcuffs. I was thinking, like, if that was my son, and again, we don't know the circumstances, so maybe if he knew it was coming and he got out of there and left his kids, that is wild. But that was the first thing I thought about, E, like, man, I would never want to put my son in that kind of position.
Exactly. I mean, I know they said, they were just detained. But, man, anytime they slap them braces on you, that's traumatic. I mean, especially when you didn't do it. I'm like, hey, man, y'all over here looking for my father. Why am I in handcuffs? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then, and again, I'm not here to pass judgment on Puffy. I don't know if he did.
I don't know
if he didn't do it. But but when you run it and your kids getting handcuffed, you look a little guilty. But go ahead, K-Walk.
Yeah, man. I'm passing judgment here because everything you guys mentioned and Jay, just like we talked about 2 weeks ago about Tiki Barber, man, and what he copped out on you know that whole situation about being loyal. You know what? There's a lot of things being said about P. Diddy and everything, and a lot of different people are saying the same thing about P. Diddy, man, right now. And you saw what happened. We all saw what happened. If you've been living under a rock or if you haven't been tuned in because you're working or whatever the case may be, check it out. You know, his sons are being handcuffed. He's pacing, waiting for his private jet to get clearance to take off. Meanwhile, ain't no way in the world, man, I'm going to do that. Like you guys both mentioned, and there's no way in the world you're going to do that for something you did. Like, no, you have all of that money. You mean to tell me you can't get these guys? Like, you knew what was going to happen. Someone gave you the heads up, and you're going to leave your kids in there. You know, so much more that can be said, but P. Diddy, your low life, man, and if this is true, but you know what, you're leaving your sons out there to dry, you're to hang them out to dry, man. P. Diddy, get it right, man. I'm hearing so many, and all these stories starting to come out, and everyone, like I said, everyone differently has the same thing to say about him. But yeah, man, it's rough for his kids, and hopefully they, you know, they can come out of this unscathed, and they can somehow get bypass this, and Diddy, man, get your stuff together, man, because it doesn't look right for you, nonetheless, man. So with that
just before we wrap it up, one thing, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say one thing we do here on Sports Talk with K-Walk and E-Scott. We call it infotainment. We inform as well as entertain. Hopefully we did a little of both of them tonight. K-Walk, go ahead and take us all home.
Indeed. And my quote, I don't know if it fits well with this, but I just have my quote before we start the show is, a problem is a chance for you to do your best. Right? So I don't know if it fits, but it sounds good to me. All right. So for E. Scott, I am K. Walk. For Sports Talk with K. Walk and E. Scott, or Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, God willing, we will talk to you next week.
Yo.